So again, we're going to continue today with the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. Last Sabbath, we covered verses 15 to 31. So today, we will continue from 31 and possibly the end. We'll try. So, but I'll read verses Acts chapter 5, verses 31 to verse 42, and hopefully cover as much as we can from it. So we know last what we talked about, that the apostles were arrested. Not all of them. They were arrested for preaching. An angel set them free. The evil anti-Mashiach, anti-Messiah leaders did not even know that. But then they heard them preaching in the temple, and the guard brought them without violence, as it says in verse 26. The captain of the guard brought them without violence to the high priest. And they charged them, did we not ask you? Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And as we continued, then Peter said, that it is better. Peter asked him, then Peter and the other apostles answered, so we ought to obey Elohim rather than men. Okay? So, and he introduces, and not introduce, he states in verse 30, the Elohim of our fathers raised up Yeshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath Elohim exalted with his right hand, at his right hand, to be a prince and savior, and to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So not only does he give forgiveness, he also actuates, he also gives forgiveness of sin. He also gives repentance. The Lamb breaks the heart of human beings when they behold the Lamb with all their heart and their soul and their mind and understanding. In light of their own sins, then their hearts break. Just as while he was actually crucified, there were two criminals on either, on the right and on the left side. The one on the left said, if you are Messiah, save yourselves and save us. But the other one, his heart was broken, says, do you not fear Elohim? This man has done nothing. But we've received our just reward. So his heart was broken. He was he was penitent. He also had faith. He said, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me. And we know what Messiah said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. So he came to give repentance. So we need to always go back, even though we know he is the risen Savior. But when he rose mark of the wounds, with the wounds still in his body. He didn't resurrect the way he has set for us to be resurrected. When we are resurrected by his mercy, we will be resurrected whole. There will be no injuries, no aging, nothing. We will be whole. But he did not rise that way. He rose with the marks in his hands, on his feet, in his side, on his head. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a reason he did that. That is so people can remember what was done to him. And I'm trusting one day when he returns, there will be no need for him to still carry those wounds. In time we will know. But when he rose from the dead, yes, those wounds were there. And what did Thomas do? Thomas fell at his feet when he says, reach into my side, touch my hands, see my hands, look into my side. Yes, it was to show him that it was really him, but it's also to show what he did for us. So he came to bring repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Repentance to Israel? Did all Israel turn? No. But who is Israel? Israel is whom Elohim says is Israel. Whoever does the will of the Father is Israel. Whoever keeps is in the covenant with Elohim is Israel. Whoever does not obey the commandments, though he were of the lineage of the bloodline of Abraham, it doesn't matter. They will be what? Cut off, not a part of the congregation. Okay? And so we can be cut off or engrafted. Gentiles could be grafted, and Gentiles who are not once a people can now become a people if they join the covenant. Those that are of the children of Israel, if they repent, then they will be truly Israel and be saved. As Peter, we will see, just as Peter will say, just as they are being saved, just as the Gentiles are being saved, Israel can be saved too. It's an interesting way Peter says this, as we'll see in the chapters to follow. So let's move on. Let's read verse 32 to 42. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom Elohim have given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, to put them aside a little space. Verse 35. And said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing. Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of Elohim, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against Elohim. Verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Yeshua, and let them go. In the name of Yehoshua, and let them go. Verse 40. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach the anointed Savior, Yehoshua Messiah. Amen. So let's go back a little bit. So having said, testified to the council, to the Jerusalem council, the apostle said, him, that is Yeshua, Elohim exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Prince, a sar, savior, Yeshua, right? Savior, to prince and a savior. So in scripture, whenever a righteous king exists, you will see, and I won't have time to go, but you will see that that righteous king, he's a king on earth, but he's a prince to Elohim. Why is that? Because whoever is righteous is counted as a son of Elohim, as a child of Elohim. So because Elohim is king above all, therefore his son, because he is truly his son, is a prince and a savior, because he's going to save. His mission till this very day is to save, not to destroy. It's to save. He's not really destroying. So he's a prince. So verse 32, he's a prince and a savior. And verse 32 says, we are his witnesses. Okay? They did not read about Yeshua. They lived with him. They were his disciples, of course. Of course. They just not hear his words. They watched him perform. They watched him live what he taught. They saw how he did everything, how he walked. They were witnesses of these things. They saw how he lived. They saw his teaching. They saw his miracles. They saw the insults he bore. They saw him arrested. They saw him mistreated, brutalized, crucified. They saw him buried, and they found him risen again. So they are witnesses to these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom Elohim have given to them that obey. Why do they say so is the Holy Spirit? Did they see that? Is the Holy Spirit visible? No. So is the Holy, because they saw the Spirit of Elohim acting, doing things in his name, in the name of the Savior. They experienced the Holy Spirit taking what is of Messiah and giving to those who believe and obey him. Yes, Yeshua says the Holy Spirit in the book of John, when he comes, he shall take of mine and give, right? So that's how the Holy Spirit is a witness. And so is the Holy Spirit, he says, because the Holy Spirit, that's how, and the scriptures tell us the Holy Spirit will bear witness that we are his children. How will that happen? By the works of the Spirit in our lives. The work of repentance. When we see we used to struggle with a sin, and all of a sudden, by praying and committing ourselves to, all of a sudden, we overcome the sin. Those who have the Spirit in them will overcome sin, because that's one of the prophecies of the Spirit, is that when the Spirit comes, he will cause us to love the laws of Elohim and enable us to keep those laws. If we struggle with a particular sin, it's because we have really not yielded our hearts to say, with all our hearts, Elohim, cause me to turn from these sins. It's not enough to just repent. We need to overcome, and that comes by the Spirit. And that's one of the testimonies of the Spirit. Of course, there's the miracles that's done in a person's life. When we're sick, we pray for ourselves, and we can receive healing. And sometimes we might, depending how close we are in our walk, we might even help others heal. The Spirit may even use us to heal others, and other things that the Spirit does for those who obey him. But when they heard these things, when they heard the words of the apostles, were their reaction like those in chapter 2 and chapter 3, who when their hearts were pricked and says, what does this mean? And what shall we do, brethren? No. It says they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. What manner of spirit is that in these people? It is an anti-Messiah, anti-anointed spirit. It is a spirit of flesh that's truly trapped in the carnal, sinful way, sinful mind. Miracle after miracle, sign after sign is given by the Spirit, and their hearts, rather than thinking, you know, maybe we should stop, they want to slay, they want to kill them. But there was at least a wise man, I don't know if he was righteous or not, Gamaliel, and he told them, watch what you do. Because he, through giving them examples, he says, everything that's not of Elohim will fall apart. Everything that a person endeavors to do, whatever work is not of Elohim, will fall apart. And people will be scattered. It will not last. And he gave a few examples of those things. So he says, watch what you do. Verse 38, he says, I say unto you, stay away from these men. Leave them alone. For if what they're saying is just the works of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is from Elohim, you cannot overthrow it, lest you find yourself fighting against Elohim. So this concept is very important for us to understand, because in many things in life, we may not understand. But we may not understand sometimes what Elohim is doing. And we may think that we are siding on Elohim's side, and yet we're not. I remember the account of Josiah. Remember, Josiah was a great king, one of the greatest kings in Judah. And he did wonderful things for Elohim with zeal. But then a time came when Egypt went to fight against another nation. I don't remember what the nation was. And Josiah, not knowing, tried to stop the Egyptians from doing what they were doing. But the Egyptians said, turn back. This thing is from the Eternal. Josiah did not listen. And he died. He was he was killed. But he was a great king. So these are lessons for us to understand. Make sure we are circumspect. Make sure we're not creating our own ideas and find ourselves on the wrong side. Because Elohim is on nobody's side, okay? He is righteous. It is we who need to be on his side. Just like Joshua asked when he saw the captain of Elohim's host, whose side are you on? He didn't say he was on it. He says, I am the captain of the God of the Eternals, the host of the Eternal. So we have to make sure, because Elohim is not going to turn to the left or turn to the right for anybody. He's unchangeable. He's patient, but he's unchangeable. So we have to make sure that we're not creating our own concepts and ideas, things of the flesh, things of the world, and think they are things of Elohim. There are people taking sides in the Middle East as to who's who and who's that. Elohim, believe it or not, is on no one's side. You know, there are some that are saying, I'm for Israel. Some I'm saying, I'm for this, I'm for that. Elohim does not think like that. Until people repent, they are not his. When, as we will see, Paul in the book of Romans, he says, all Israel will be saved. He does not mean all fleshy Israel. He is talking about those who repent, those who obey. They are Israel. And those among the Gentiles who repent and obey are grafted in and are one with Israel. Which Israel? One new man. One new man. It's not of the flesh, but of the spirit. Just like the true Jerusalem is above, the true Israel are those who are born again. So we must be careful that we don't find ourselves fighting against Elohim unawares. Because everything that people do that is not from Elohim will fall apart. Everything. So let's make sure that we don't build our house on the sand, but we build our house on the rock, on the solid foundation, so that when the winds blow and the tempests come, our house will not be ruined. For those who build their house on the sand, great will be the ruin. It will not stand, because the tides will come. The tides will come. So verse 40. And so to him they agreed. They listened to Gamaliel. Why did they listen? Because of his clout. Gamaliel's clout, his reputation. He was a doctor of the law. It's not because of anything else. It's not for righteousness' sake they agreed. They agreed simply because this man had a pedigree, so to say. He was a man of great repute, even to those of the flesh. In verse 4, and so to him they agreed. They did not agree to the apostles. They did not agree to the signs of the Spirit. They did not. And many times people make that mistake. They will not look after the lifestyle of a person. Rather, they look after how much a person, quote unquote, know. That's one of the biggest mistakes people make. Because knowledge is limited to all that are human, that are persons, to all sons of Adam except the Messiah, who's from above. And so when we rely on just those who have a degree or whatever it is, it's not the way to go. When it comes to the works of the Eternal, you look for righteousness. You look for repentance. You look for those that are generally humbly pious. Those are the things you look for. Because those are the first things the Spirit does in a person's life, is clean them up. Sanctify them. And when they are sanctified enough, then the works of Elohim, the power of the Spirit, starts working through them. Because Elohim will not put anyone as a witness for him unless that person is pure. He's not going to use anyone to be a witness. He's not going to do signs or miracles or anything, any works of the Spirit through a person until that person works these things out. So until they're refined, and that's why even the Apostle Paul, when he converted, when he was changed, He spent a long time before he just started. He didn't immediately start his ministry. And you will see even Yeshua, who needed nothing, no purification, went to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. We saw the children of Israel when they were on the mount after coming from Egypt. Moses says, wash your clothes, do certain things, and in 3 days, Elohim will come down. So it shows you we all need a time of there. We need to really be sanctified for whatever task, for whatever thing that Elohim will do for us. So we don't look to men based on just knowledge. Knowledge is important. Don't get me wrong. Knowledge is part of it. But the lifestyle is key. Lifestyle is key. How you live, how you think, that you are living the life. That's key. So they agreed to listen to Gamaliel, but they beat the apostles. And they again commanded them not to speak in the name of Yeshua and let them go. Wow. And they departed, that is the disciples, the apostles departed from the presence of the council. Terrified? No. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's amazing. Only the Spirit can do that. Only the Spirit, Holy Spirit, can make a person think to that, how their heart to be in this level where even in their suffering, they're literally rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in his name. This is not something that you do naturally, that human beings do naturally. And that's why the ministry of Yeshua through us is not of the flesh. It's of the Spirit. And we need to pray for these things. Now, what do I say? Pray that we will be beaten? No, but pray so that whenever we go through hardships unjustly, that we could give Elohim thanks rather than complain. We need to learn to give thanks for all things. There's a brother Gilbert. I remember years he would say, give thanks for all things. Give thanks for your sorrow, for the hardships that comes your way. Give thanks for the good things. Give thanks. In all things rejoice. You cannot do this by just reading. You have to pray to Elohim to give us. We need to pray for Elohim to give us that kind of a heart, that kind of a mind that rejoices having suffered wrong. How many of us would just take out a club or sword, forbid, or other weapon? How many of us would think to defend ourselves rather? And it's understandable, but all these things are of the flesh. They counted it worthy, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. They rejoice. And verse 42, to end, and daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Yeshua, the anointed Savior. They did not stop. They were beaten, threatened. They did not stop because they were chosen to do this job. Chosen not by going to a school to get a degree, but chosen by the power of the Spirit in the transformation of their lives, of their minds, of their hearts, to serve and be a witness of Yeshua Messiah, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and his rulership as Prince and Savior. They were witnesses. Now, none of us ever saw Yeshua. Some of us might be blessed with that. You never know. These things are not impossible. They're very possible, especially to them to believe. Who believe? The more we believe, the more we will experience. The less we believe, the less we will experience. What he did for the apostles, as you will see, you will see times where Yeshua comes, visits them and sees them. These things have not stopped to be. Okay, there's no rule that says Yeshua, our Savior, is not going to do that anymore. No, he does things according to our faith. When we believe, he does great, he'll do great things for us. When we don't believe, we will have little done for us. It's, everything will be according to our faith. That's the covenant. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he says, believing, you shall receive. Those are the conditions of the new covenant. So, brethren, I end here with this, and we will continue with chapter 6 next Sabbath.